Welcome to the Chop Sports Daily, people. It's a feel-good Friday. I swore I would never say that out loud, but Dave is definitely rubbing off on me. I apologize for my hiatus yesterday. Dave came through and saved the show, but I had a personal issue that took place early in the morning that I had to attend to, and Dave to the rescue from, I don't even know what they call it. Is that like a paternity suite? Do they do that? Is it like a maternity suite? Yeah. I don't know why I just stole the thunder, but Dave was from doing the show live yesterday from the hospital, and shout out to Dave for saving the day. But what a crazy weekend in sports we have coming up, and what a night, I guess, yesterday was with all the news about Odell Beckham Jr., which we're going to get into. I guess we'll get into that right away. Odell is officially released. We got word this morning. Now, there's four teams that everybody's saying that is the likely destination. The Packers are one of those teams. I don't want anything to do with Odell on my team right now, especially with all the drama going on in Green Bay. Scoop, what are your thoughts? I actually didn't even introduce the fact that this is how you know that I'm winging it today, or all week, really. I apologize, but we are live from Flipping Made Easy Studios in Matawan, New Jersey, and I have my boy Scoop with me.
Yes, sir.
So I'm not alone today. And we got the Sauce sitting in. The Sauce doesn't have a camera, but the Sauce is here nonetheless. Sauce, say what's up.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
All right, so now I did my introduction because I'm not an actual piece of shit. But Scoop, what do you think of Odell, bro? Where's he going to end up?
Who cares? No, who wants him on the team at this point?
Not the Browns.
Nobody. Not the Browns.
Not the Giants.
Let's go back to the Giants, baby.
Now, the likely destination that I would say would make the most sense based off of team needs at this point, and obviously you're not going to be a non-contender that's going to make any moves on a guy like Odell, because it just doesn't add up. Doesn't make sense. I can't anticipate Odell signing a contract for more than the rest of this season and then testing free agency. So I would say, honestly, the Raiders make the most sense because of the Henry Ruggs situation, but I would say that DeSean Jackson makes even more sense than Odell at this point, because Henry Ruggs and DeSean Jackson are very similar in players. And if DeSean Jackson doesn't get the looks, he's not going to make the stink that Odell does. What do you guys think of that assessment?
Sauce?
I mean, I guess, yeah, Raiders probably do make the most sense, but I'm kind of with Scoop where I could care less. It's going to bring headlines and people will talk about it, maybe sell some jerseys, but overall, I mean, how many actual wins or point differential does this dude really translate to on the field? I'm not even sure. He'll make a cool catch, but also drop a bunch.
But honestly, he's not even making cool catches now. He doesn't play. You know, he doesn't practice all week. He's been banged up. He's saying that he's playing through an injured shoulder that he's had since high school. Now, I just don't believe a word he says at this point. I think he makes up injuries when the team has nothing going for them. And you saw that with the Giants, where he would tweak something and then he'd give up the last four games. I've just never been a fan of Odell, all the talent in the world, but that doesn't really mean that much when it comes to your willingness to get out there on the field. And Odell, say no to Odell in Green Bay, please.
He's got that ball baggage too.
A lot of good stuff happening this weekend. We have a lot of NFL action, obviously, as usual. There's some college football that I think Kyle is, and guys, Kyle is the Sauce. For those that don't know, I say the Sauce, Kyle, same person. Kyle, we're going to bring up a couple college games this weekend because we have conference championship time on the horizon. And this is really when college football season gets interesting to me. It's not that it's not interesting prior to, but really it's just filler to get me to Sundays. Now it's where you start to see the rivalries. And honestly, it started this week with the Waction, baby. I've been smacking the over every single day. I think I'm not even sure what conference Louisiana is in.
Sunbelt.
So, yeah, I took the over in that one thinking it was the whack for whatever reason, and it didn't hit. But that was a good game nonetheless. We're going to get some college football picks from Kyle, some of the stuff that he's going to have on his YouTube. You're going to get the early bird special here on Chop Sports. We got UFC 268 this weekend, a loaded card at MSG. We're going to get into a couple of the fights because most of them, we have an MMA show. So if you want to hear the breakdown on that, go tune into Chop Heads MMA. But we also have Canelo and Caleb Plant. Like, this is one of those weekends of sports where outside of the Super Bowl and maybe like a couple other weekends, it's just loaded. Baseball's over, and I don't think anybody's really upset about that, right? We're over it.
Gives
right? I'm done with baseball. Full flow. Full steam ahead with the NBA. Nobody cares about hockey still, but this is when it really gets good for me as a sports fan. And I guess we'll get right into the UFC situation this weekend. Live MSG UFC 268. We're going to get in. You know, they're starting this card off, the main card off, with a banger, and they don't typically do this, but when they're in New York and they have these, it's only once a year that they're at the Garden, they're delivering big time. To open the main card, we got Justin Gaethje against Michael Chandler. Now, this fight has been, I wouldn't say years in the making, but there was a time years back where I looked at the rosters outside the UFC, and it was a Michael Chandler and it was Justin Gaethje. And I always thought, like, wow, these two guys are the two guys that would definitely fit in with the top five in the UFC. And here they are, basically fighting in a title eliminator fight. I don't have the odds in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that this is a fairly even matchup. I'm going to go to Scoop first because I know that you're a little bit of an MMA guy. What are your thoughts?
I think Gaethje's going to come after him early. I think he's going to get a knockout in round two.
Wow. You're going right into the prediction. Knockout round two. I don't think that Gaethje's going to knock him out in round two. I think he's going to drag him into deep waters a little bit. But basically what happens in this situation is you have these guys talking a lot of shit. Michael Chandler to me is a fucking dork. Can't help it. He's just one of these guys. It's hard for me to like, but that has nothing to do with my understanding of how good he is as a fighter. These guys are talking a lot of shit about the first one to take a step backwards is a bitch. We both know that's all fight speak. They're not really going in there to not take a step backwards. If somebody hits you with a good shot, you're going to take a step backwards. But I like hearing that pre-fight because it's probably going to be some fireworks. Kyle, do you have any?
Actually, I usually yield to the pick bitch.
I know. I was going to say.
I wait for her stuff.
Honestly, and the pick bitch is going to be in studio moving forward. And definitely on Mondays is when we record. I got a text from the Beaver. Shout out to the Beaver, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. AJ Bascone is now a fit. Like, he's been working with the Sauce for the past month. But now I got a notification, and I finally got to see AJ's beautiful face on.
Always nice to see
the prop Beaver,
right?
The prop Beaver.
I'm proud of AJ finding his way on the Sauce Network. I'm proud that he's able to take it to another level and learn with the Sauce and get to finally see him get some airtime on the Sauce Network, baby. He was one for one on his props, and I did ride with him. I got to admit, I didn't necessarily agree with the one that lost, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go with AJ on this one. I put a very, very small play in on it, but one for one and bigging out, I'll take that. That's a win.
Right? A win's a win. But listen, they're both coming off losses. Gaethje to Khabib. I guess that was the last fight he had. They're both coming off losses. They're both going to come out hot. They want to prove themselves.
I have an issue with Chandler being in his third fight in the UFC at this point. Is this his second or third fight?
It's
his third because he fought Hooker and then he lost the title shot. But for something to be said for a guy that is going to be in the UFC for four fights, and if he wins this fight, he gets his second title shot. Right. I just have an issue with that because there's a lot of guys. Oliveira fought in the UFC 65,000 times before he got his title shot.
He fought for the lightweight.
Tony Ferguson still never got his title shot. You know, like, Nate Diaz has gotten one title shot. You know who Nate Diaz is, though? Nate Diaz is the guy that if you beat him, you get a title shot, but if he beats you, he gets nothing. That's right. The Nate Diaz story.
Yeah, Chandler had a bunch of fights in Bellator, and then they're like, oh, you look pretty good. You want a title fight?
I know you like Nate. Diaz.
I like both Diaz.
No, Nate. Nate is the one I'm thinking of. I wanted to ask you because I saw something that Dana White's going to make him fight that dude that no
Khamzat, aka Khamzat Chimaev. Did anybody see the Colby Covington interview the other day where he got asked about Khamzat and he was like Khamzat? He got taken out by the common cold. The guy had COVID. great pro wrestling gimmick, but. Wow, I'm sure he's not making that many friends with the common cold comment about COVID.
No, definitely not.
But that's his shtick. And honestly, I applaud somebody that's going so hard at it and doesn't break character because that's saying something that you know you're going to get some hate.
Yep.
And look, now whether you want to see Colby win because of it or lose because of it, you're watching because of it. So it's marketing 101, and I'm lockstep. But yeah. That's classic UFC situation, bro. Here's what happens when you're on your final fight of your contract. Now, this guy does not deserve to step. Will he probably wipe the octagon with Nate? Most likely. Now, at if I'm Nate Diaz, I'm not fighting a guy that I'm, as I'm about to leave the UFC, I'm not going to let some other guy make his name off of me in my final fight. And this is classic Dana White business that he's done with fighters on their final fight of their contract. He's required to offer 3 fights a year. If he offers you 3 fights that he knows you're not going to take, then you're just stuck on the shelf. Mm. And what they want to do is they want to renegotiate an extendo with Nate. They don't want to let him walk, right? I don't care if he loses 11 fights in a row. Nate belongs in the UFC as far as what Dana White's saying.
He draws viewership.
Nate is looking at it like, I got to fight one fight. I don't want to go get dusted by some Russian guy and then lose a little bit of my shine. So when I want to go into the Jake Paul, Logan Paul world, you know, I want to come off of a win or at least, you know, show that I still got it. Dana White's biggest fear is losing Nate Diaz to free agency. So he's going to offer him a guy that doesn't have the name quite yet. And Nate's going to be like, I'm not fighting that guy. Not because Nate's afraid of him, but it's because it's good business for Nate. It's like, why would I want to go in there, most likely lose to a guy, let him build his name, and then me ride off into the sunset? Exactly. If Nate's going to wait around for a fight, I would say it's got to be the Conor trilogy. They're not going to have him fight Vicente Luque on his final fight of his contract. It's got to be a name. It's got to be a Masvidal. It's got to be one of these other guys. Otherwise, like, what's in it for Nate? I just anticipate at least a year and a half on the shelf for Nate Diaz at this point.
Wow.
And that's just business 101 for the UFC.
And when he comes back, it's going to win fight of the night.
Yeah.
It's always.
Right.
Always
in a loss. In a loss where he really wins right. in the eyes of the people. So that's Nate Diaz for you. And I guess we'll get into the welterweight title fight. Usman against Colby Covington, friend of the network, I guess friend of Dave Sturch. He did some, I wouldn't say bodyguard work, but he did some in the ring pro wrestling stuff. And then, you know, it looked real afterwards where there was a little bit of a dust up backstage, but you never know with the pro wrestling stuff. I'm going to have to.
It's real to me, damn it.
Yeah, it's definitely real. It's real to me, damn it. But this is a banger of a fight. I didn't think that the first fight was as close as the media made it out to be in the lead up, which is what the media does. But I did rewatch the fight yesterday. Because I had a long day of sitting home and just kind of relaxing, very rare. But I did watch the fight, the replay of the fight, and Colby hit Usman a lot. And there is something to be said about the whole cheating aspect of things where Kamaru Usman did fake an eye poke. He did fake getting kicked in the nuts, you know, and he did get 2 stoppages where if I'm going to be hard on Aljamain Sterling for taking the belt from Petr Yan in the softest way possible, you almost have to, you know, put some stock into what Colby's saying and say, like, look, if you're in a fight and you get hit and you get hurt and it's not an illegal blow and you can't continue and you say stop, 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 that's essentially saying that the fight's over. Because any stoppage other than a timeout by the ref, like if you're faking an eye poke and your eye did not get poked, then that's a blow. You got hit with a punch. Now, I think Colby had the same thing happen in later in the rounds when he got his jaw broke in half. He acted like it was an eye poke, but when you get your jaw snapped in half, maybe you just don't know what's going on, right? But this is going to be a better fight than I anticipated because just based off of the way they fought the last fight, Usman hits really hard, right? And Usman has definitely leveled up since then. I think there was part of him that was a little bit apprehensive to see what Colby had. And then once he got hit with a couple shots, I don't think Colby has the power to knock Usman out, but I know that he throws punches in bunches and he's a great volume striker, way underrated striker for as good of a wrestler as he is. But Colby will win, Sturch. We don't know about that, but I would like to see Colby win this one because I'm tired of seeing Usman lap the division. But if I'm going to make my pick, there's no way I'm picking against that big, huge Nigerian dude. Like, he looks like he could be fighting at middleweight easily right now. Huge welterweight. Seeing them stand next to each other at the press conference yesterday, he's just a thick Nigerian.
He's
I don't know big, if I'm allowed to
he's a big pause. Nigerian. I think I'm going the other way. I'm letting it ride. I think it's gonna go all 5 rounds. I think, you know, like you said, it was a good fight. You know, they both hit each other hard. Like, it was bad.
Yeah,
like,
it was a good fight.
I think Colby's going to take it 28-27. I think it's going to go.
So 28-27. So you think it's going to go 3 rounds three in a rounds, 5-round two, fight. Yep. And they're going to just be like, you know what? In this title fight, we're going to cut the last 2 rounds off. And we're going to have 28-27 because there's 5 rounds in these title fights. But I'm here for you, Scoop. Do not sweat it. Shout out to the pick bitch who is. I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but she's going to be joining us at Chop Studios going forward. I guess that's official, right?
Yeah,
that's official. And AJ, who I, the reason why I got interrupted was to announce AJ's presence on YouTube nowadays. But the Pick Bitch, I think, is going to be a nice addition if she will. If she will join the show on Monday nights, we're going to have you, we record in here. She's going to be here. So the Pick Bitch has a little bit of a following on Twitter. So if you guys want to go follow the Pick Bitch on Twitter, what is her handle? Is that it?
It's just Pick Bitch.
Pick Bitch. P-I-C-K-B-I-S-H. Follow her for all your UFC picks because she throws them out there. If you're in Chop Sports, you see them anyway, but she's going to get on the show and start getting her, her voice out there to the public. And it's going to be a good situation all around. Kyle, do you have a pick?
No, for UFC, I'll let you guys do it.
All right. I like that. See, this is what
he leaves it to.
We have these conversations in the beginning and where AJ, I don't know if you remember when AJ first started with us, he was blogging and he was blogging picks. And I'm like, AJ, how are you betting on these picks? He's like, no. I'm like, so then you can't, we can't post it.
Yeah.
Right. And we shut it down early, but then he started logging them up there. I was like, yeah, but you know, a unit's what? He's like $10. I was like, oh, all right. Well, we'll let it ride. But
not too bad.
We had to see the history before we could do it. Kyle doesn't want to put any, he doesn't want to put picks out there because he does this for a living. And if he's giving out information, it matters to him. So I appreciate that.
A bitch in the UFC. He said he sucks. He's like washed up. And I forgot who it was.
Nick D. Oh, he called Cerrone.
Oh,
he said Cerrone was a scrub.
That's right.
But I mean, nowadays Cerrone is a little washed, but.
Well, he started watching in 2020.
So. And Dina, we are excited as well. I'm very much looking forward to it. Off of UFC, more combat sports. I think everybody's in lockstep on how this one's going to go. Caleb Plant versus Canelo Alvarez. Anytime you get Canelo, it's exciting. Last couple fights he's had, there wasn't really much buzz behind them because that's what Canelo does. He's now officially Anderson Silva, the entire boxing world, where he is so much better than the rest. And even the Floyd fight, where Floyd bottled that matchup the entire time. He made Canelo suck all that weight and come down. Like, I think Canelo really, over the last 15 years, even including Floyd, has been the premier boxer in the world.
Agreed.
Agreed, right? Definitely. Now, Floyd, Canelo's fought everybody. He's like an Oscar De La Hoya, but not a bitch. Meaning like Oscar fought everybody as well, where you could say what you want about the guy, but he's, you know, he really left nothing out there to be confused about. He fought, if there was a guy that was elite in Oscar's time, he fought them. You could say the same thing about Alvarez. And if anybody, before I say my point, I'm going to let Kyle take this one a little bit because I know Kyle's a boxing guy.
Yeah. I'm pumped for this one. I'm pumped for every single Canelo fight, but the thing with Canelo, as far as predicting a winner, it's gotten to the point where no matter what's happening in the fight, even if you see someone timing a jab, keeping him at distance, it's only a matter of time before that left hand starts to touch you. And for his size, it hurts, man. There's a lot of weight behind that little left hook to the kidney that he does. It doesn't look like much, but you'll start seeing them wince after that lands the third, fourth time. And it's gotten to the point where I will never fade Canelo Alvarez. Yeah. It's
also gotten to the point where he's such a, what's the odds on this? He's got to be heavy favorite, right? So it's hard for me to even bet Canelo because he's so good as well, where it's like, you're going to have to risk a shitload of money. What I try and do in these situations, I try and pick the round or the method, usually the method, because it kind of like levels it out. I can't see Canelo getting.
It was -1,000.
-1,000. Yes. Note though, Canelo did say on Twitter, I think it was, that he's putting Plant to sleep in between 7 and 9. So if you want to follow that, you can get Canelo Alvarez in a particular round at +900.
So, I mean, 7 through 9, I might throw just $50 on all three of those rounds, right? Yep. And then just hope for the best because it's what is it, +900?
Where do you make those bets?
Over on BetMGM, but we'll do the plug, but I'm going to do that on my own, not steaming off of Kyle's picks because there's a conflict there.
Yeah.
So
can't be associated with a sports book.
But if you want any indication of how I think this fight's going to go, all you got to do is rewind a couple weeks, go back to the press conference where they kind of got into it. Caleb Plant called Canelo a motherfucker and Canelo took that personal. He said, do not talk about my mother, blah, 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 threw him back. Caleb Plant reached with his lunging left hook. It was easily dissected, and Canelo dips out of the way and hits him with a I don't even know if it was like a uppercut.
It was like a left hook slap.
Yeah, it was like a left hook slap that I don't know that it was a slap. I think the first or the second one was a slip. He definitely landed knuckles flush on that eye. That slap didn't cut him that way.
Maybe not.
I think it was clear. I think what Canelo did was he didn't know that Caleb Plant was going to slap him. So as soon as there was aggression towards him, he thought he was in a fight. I don't think that he was like, let's slap box.
Plant
threw the slap and Canelo threw the punch. You couldn't really see what landed because it was on the far side of the camera. But as if Canelo needed another advantage going into this fight. If you see the press conference yesterday, Caleb Plant's eye is very, very cut up and pink still. Right. So it's not going to take much for that left hand to open that up early and then affect the vision. And you know what goes on in a fight, right? You could be healed, but as soon as you get popped with a good left hand, that eye is opening up almost immediately, I would say.
Yeah.
So
and Plant's barely got hit in his career. He's been overwhelmingly the favorite in all of his fights, but he's going to see.
He's going to get touched.
Yeah, he's going to learn. He's going to learn Saturday night.
Do you guys think that was staged? And I love Canelo. I'm not hating on anything. Part of me, being so familiar with how much that kind of stuff brings in viewers, brings in pay-per-view orders. Like, there was part of me, and I'm not even convinced it was staged, but there was part of me that was like, that was really nice if that was planned out. Like, and I don't know.
I would say if there wasn't blood involved and like a potential for something to derail the fight, if they just got into a shoving match, by all means, like, I'll give you an example of what was definitely fake. Yesterday's shove between Usman and Colby, like, Dana, first of all, Dana White almost had a stroke. Hilarious video. Hilarious video. It was like, oh! Like, that's literally what he sounded like. Excuse me for that, guys. But Dana White was in between them, and it was just like a weak shove, but, you know, it almost looked like Colby gave him like a nod, like, all right, now. And then Usman shoved him, but either way,
that's what I'm saying. A lot of those are fake.
Yeah, a lot of that shit's fake.
And I don't know if that one was, so I don't want to accuse if it was legitimate, but just
if it was fake, I think it was real. Yeah,
I think that part was real. A lot of it's fake.
If it was fake, Canelo should fucking quit boxing and become an actor because he was so mad, right? He was so angry. So I don't think it was fake. I think Canelo's gonna dust him up, bust him up, dust him up. Finish him early. It might be because of a doctor stoppage. I could see Plant just being a tough dude going out in his shield, but it just being one of those situations where he's a bloody mess. And that's how I feel like that's going to go.
It's pretty much even money over 9.5 and under 9.5 for rounds. It's -105 each way. So
got to go under. Yeah, Canelo says 7-9. I listened to the man.
All right. So there was football yesterday.
There sure was.
So I'm going to bring up this cocky poo poo game. And we're going to talk about the Jets at the Colts. Mike White show came to an abrupt end. And part of me was excited about it because I did have the Colts across the board in several different plays.
I did not.
But there was part of me, and I mean that part of me, where Kyle texted me last night and he said, "Do you believe this shit, Mike White, the Mike White show already?" And I had already understood that Kyle had been taking the Jets, right? So It was a very shitty game to watch.
Yes.
All the excitement that Jet fans had going into this about Mike White, I wouldn't say he did anything to curb that.
No, right? He looked great.
He did really well. And I'm not saying that the Jets have something in Mike White, but if you look back, they were showing yesterday going into the game, it was the Mike White show. Literally, they were talking. They had all his Senior Bowl interviews. And like, the guy just sounds like the guy you'd want to lead your team. Now, when you look at him, he doesn't necessarily look like the guy you'd want to lead your team because he's an undersized guy. And clearly he's been cut. He was cut 4 times by the Jets last year. So, you know, the Cowboys cut him. So he's been I wouldn't say a journeyman. I think this is his second stop, but nonetheless, Mike White, he's not an elite quarterback prospect.
No.
Right.
No, he's the dark horse.
But I think Mike White, what he's done for himself is he's firmly entrenched himself into that like career backup quarterback role. With the performance last week, almost like a Taylor Heinicke is doing in Washington right now, where it's like Heinicke will be in the league a while. He's never going to be the guy, but he'll be a backup for a while, almost like Mike White, almost like a Fitzpatrick, where these guys just kind of find their way. They find their footing. They put together 15-year careers, but I think that'll be Mike White. I think that's the max on Mike White. Now, that's a good career, right? But
I'll take it.
Enough about Mike White. Enough about the Jets. It's now about the Colts. The Colts, they've lost some tough games. They really beat up on the Jets yesterday. I know that the score was a little bit closer. There was a chance at a backdoor cover, right? Kyle also texted me that.
Not a chance. I was robbed of my backdoor cover.
But they were on the 10-yard line, and they had a essentially they were playing to win the game still at that point.
They're only down 15. And it wasn't completely ridiculous. I think they still had a timeout left, a minute and a half. I mean, far-fetched, but not ridiculous.
The way this week has gone and the way the NFL has been going, and just you're going to get one of those games eventually, and that one could have been the one, but it was cut short by another Colts interception. How many Jets turnovers were there yesterday?
I can pull it up right now.
The whole time I was watching, I was like, this is the team that knocked me out of Survivor, like the Jets.
Yeah.
two Jets defense turnovers. Was
awful. The Jets knocked out a lot of people this year with their two wins because they beat two really good teams at the time. Yeah. They beat the Titans, and then they beat the
– I knocked out.
Yeah.
But the reason why it was so close is because they were just letting them – think and dunk the rest of the game.
Exactly. And I wanted to talk about that. And this happened earlier in the year with Lamar Jackson against the Colts. This guy, I forget his name, Eferlis or whatever, the Colts defensive coordinator. This is a second time where a dude is up 32 points, sitting back in four deep or prevent or whatever you want to call that defense, and just letting them get chunks of yards. And Lamar Jackson, if you remember, came back down like 21.
They were down 20. They were down 18 with like 3 minutes to go in the third. But then they stormed back, and like within like a minute going into the fourth, it was already like a good game.
And it was the same exact situation where Lamar Jackson drops back and he's like, okay, you're going to give me the eight. I'll take the eight. Okay, you're going to give me the first down right here. I'll take it. And they did the same thing. That's coaching scared. I mean, you can't just let someone back in the game like that. And but that's happened twice.
You see that constantly too. And you know when else you see that? When teams are playing with like 30 seconds to go, they have a lead and they're up a field goal. They like take away the sideline way too much. It's like play straight up. If they get a fucking play on the sideline, good for them. But if they get 30 yards in the middle of the field, that's worse for you and way better worse. For them. You know, I watch Aaron Rodgers pick defenses apart like that. And it's like, first of all, and cover the best player on the team. Yeah. Like, how is Davante Adams wide open in that spot two plays in a row, two times this season? I don't understand it, but that's just defensive coaching. Defensive players know what they're supposed to be doing. They have to you'd be like, oh, how come the fuck he's not covering him? And it's like, well, he's covering the zone that he's told to play.
He's just doing his job.
So, we talked about this game already way too much, right? This is a beatdown. Jonathan Taylor is now the new Derrick Henry, I guess, right? Where he's just going to clearly lead the league in rushing yards. Oh, we talked about this pre. Derrick Henry's not overrated. I think he just fell victim of the 5,000 carries a season for five seasons straight award.
Right? No. We're not getting into that.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that for sure because that's a whole nother conversation. What we are going to do is we are going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to break down a little bit of college football games that Kyle has, and then we'll get into the rest of the NFL slate.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Johnine right now.
We'll talk a little bit about college football, and we'll get that out of the way because then the NFL is going to be a little more of a stretch. So, Kyle, are you ready to get into these college games a little bit?
Yeah, we could jump in.
All right. So first one up is UNC versus Wake Forest. Do you happen to have the point spreads or do you need me to grab
those? It's UNC minus 2.5.
Okay.
At least it was as of this morning.
Okay. So UNC minus 2.5. And I would imagine that that's at Wake Forest?
At UNC.
At UNC. Okay. So what do we got here? Sauce money.
Okay. So the reason that I chose this game is because everyone's asking how is Wake Forest the underdog in this game. It's sitting at 8-0, I think 5-0 in the ACC. Clear-cut favorite to win the conference. When it's a game like this, when I start doing research, the first thing I want to look at is to make sense. I need to make sense of this spread. So this is what I got. So we can sit here and list off a million reasons why Wake Forest is better than North Carolina. I mean, just watch the games. They're a lot better. But there's one thing. So Wake Forest, right? We know their offense with Sam Hartman is unreal.
22 touchdowns.
He's been good. Sam Hartman is, and also, like, I trust him. He's good with the ball in his hands. Pass defense, best in the ACC, right? First in the ACC in pass defense efficiency, third in total passing yards allowed. So they locked down. You got a good secondary. They pressure the quarterback. But, and there is a but, Wake Forest is second to last, 13th in the ACC defending the run. And then it hit me. I was like, wait a second, like trying to think back of their games I watch. Army did just put up 56 on them. Army put up 56 on Wake Forest. Now, UNC's kind of got this unfair label of being, because they have Sam Howell, who was a Heisman hopeful. They're like, oh, this pass-heavy team. They're really not. In fact, UNC, North Carolina is towards the top of the ACC in rushing. So I guess the rationale is, oh, if Army, with no passing game, was able to run on Wake Forest like that and put up a 56 piece, what's North Carolina going to do with Sam Howell coming out of play action? So it's valid. It's valid. I mean, I'm still taking Wake Forest, but the point spread is valid. It's not as ridiculous as it seems when you first look at it.
So there you hear it, folks. Wake Forest. I'm also taking Wake Forest, I guess.
What do you think of the over under on that? 76 and a half.
It could be 122 and a half, and I'm still over.
All right. So Wake Forest in the over. I like that. I like that because I had no clue, and I would have probably just sat and woke up in the morning and bet on something just to get some action. But yeah. All right, so that's one play. Now, guys, understand that the sauce is doing us a huge favor by giving us the early bird special. These picks and a further breakdown will be available, I would say, tomorrow morning, right?
For college football, it'll be late tonight.
So where could they find your picks? I don't want you to be on here and not be able to plug.
Yeah, it's fine.
So on the Sauce Network, do you type in Kyle Kerms on YouTube? Subscribe to the Sauce. He also has a VIP thing going on. Whereas, if you have any interest in getting into that, which I suggest you do, because you know it's a moderately successful VIP slate. So I think that you guys should go give the Sauce a check, see, look, see, whatever you want to call it. Definitely subscribe to his YouTube because it's definitely made me some money and put me in a better state of mind and as far as my bets go.
Appreciate it.
I do fade the Sauce from time to time, but it's usually when he is very transparent about the fact that he's taking something, but he's not taking it with he's not fully invested in the pick. So definitely all the information you need comes from the Sauce. He kind of breaks down the game where you don't even have to listen to his pick. And you could just draw your own assessment based off
that. That was the vision.
That's the whole point.
I wanted people to want
to. I had a conversation with my buddy about it. And he's like, look, I watch his videos all the time. He's like, I don't even bet every day. He's like, but I still watch the videos. He's like, because you start to learn about the teams. He's like, so, you know, you don't have to watch the games all the time. You don't have to sit there and watch 12 college games to kind of get an idea as to how Georgia Tech is playing. You get what I'm saying? Right. So it helps. And he's like, with my NBA bets, he's like, I just go on. He's like, if I'm on the fence with something and the Sauce likes it, he's like, that seals it. If I don't hear anything, he's like, I'll make my own play. But there's just you ultimately you're making your own bets. You know, it's just good to get the information. So game two, Purdue, Michigan State. What do we got, Sauce?
All right. So this one, another one with a questionable point spread here. I mean, Michigan State undefeated, just like Wake Forest. Looking good as hell, coming off a huge win, the biggest win of the season. Why is this number only 3? And this one's simple. Purdue quarterback. So ever since Jack Plummer, I believe he got hurt, and now I think his starting job is just gone. I'm not even sure. But whatever the reason, Aiden O'Connell's the starter in Purdue now. Since this guy took over, he started 4 games. He's averaging 42 pass attempts a game. So Purdue has become pass happy. And as we've seen this year with McNamara, Michigan against Michigan. If you have a quarterback that isn't afraid to stay in the pocket, take the hits, step up, and make big throws, you can score a lot of points on Michigan State. So Michigan State on the road, their offense, although it's great, Kenneth Walker and Peyton Thorne's great, it's been stifled on the road by Nebraska, by Indiana. They won 2015. Nebraska, they won, 23-20, something like that? So it's by these big, solid, physical Big Ten defenses on the road, this offense has been stifled. And that's why this is a 3-point spread. And I'm doing it. I'm going super sharp here. I'm taking the points. Michigan State may honestly get their first loss of the year here to Purdue. I'm not saying who's going to win the game because I think it's a toss-up, but I'll take the 3 in a low-scoring grind it out. I didn't even look at the total, but probably under.
And I would be remiss if I did not mention that. Last week, the Sauce did predict the exact final score of the Michigan State-Michigan game. So he does have a good read on what's happening out there. And what's Michigan State? What city do they play in?
East Lansing,
Michigan. So he's got his ear to the ground out there in East Lansing.
I love Big Ten.
Yeah, 53.5
as well.
53.5 is the number.
Oh, under and a half.
Under and a half. All right. So, mind me while I take my notes for my for my picks tomorrow afternoon. All right. When you said Jack Plummer, I was like, wait, because I know we have Arizona State on the docket here, the 3 college games that we're breaking down. When you said Jack Plummer, I was like, oh, Arizona State has Jake Plummer's younger brother. Are they related by any chance?
Purdue.
But that's what I was saying because, like, I got confused. I was like, Kyle, you're mixing up the games. But really, it's because Jake Plummer went to Arizona State, and I just got all fucked up in my head.
Yeah, I was like, wait, there's another Plummer in Arizona?
There was, and now I was just confused. I wonder if they actually are related. Son. Is it really? Wow. I say brother.
I'm not positive.
Right? But it's his son. That means I'm
fucking... He even, like, plays a
little
like...
I'm an old dirtbag piece of shit after that comment.
He even plays a little like Jake the Snake.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense. Quarterback, Plummer. Right? But anyway... Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta know.
Jake Plummer's son. Oh.
Dead time. All right.
I don't know.
USC versus Arizona State. I can't imagine anybody being on Arizona State in this one, but let's hear what the Sauce has to say about it.
You can't imagine anyone what?
Being on Arizona State in this
one? Oh, definitely on Arizona State.
I knew it. I kind of knew that was going down that way.
So
you play to win the game.
USC has lost Drake London. And if you don't know who that is, that's their star wide receiver. Go ahead and Google this guy's game logs if you want to know how important he is to that offense. He averages 135.5 receiving yards a game and 1 touchdown a game. He accounts for basically half of all of USC's passing yards. He's that good. He's their best player. He's done. He was carted off the field in tears last week, unfortunately. Arizona State coming off an embarrassing loss. The best running game in the Pac-12. I think it's the second best passing game. They're going to bully USC here. They win by 20, I'm saying. Arizona State big.
20.
All right, so Arizona State big. I was like, I can't imagine anybody being on Arizona State in this one. Arizona State big. We're going several units on Arizona State is what the Sauce is saying.
No, never more than a unit and a half on any game.
Yeah. My favorite video that you've put out by far is not even a pick video. It's the one where you just explain like how to bet.
Oh yeah.
Essentially, it's like a 10-minute video. And
it's all like unit management or
unit management and like tracking your bets, which I don't do, but
you got him.
BetMGM tracks them for me. Right. But we're going to get into the NFL slate. Thank you, Kyle. Hopefully we could all go out there and win some money.
Hopefully we snap this. I'm on a 6-day losing streak right now.
Well, bro, when we're in Vegas or we're in AC and you're playing roulette and it lands on black 6 times.
Bet red.
Right. So Kyle's going to hit we're going to call it green. Kyle's going to hit the green check marks this weekend. We're going to be there for it.
Yeah, we're going green.
We're going to get into the NFL slate like I promised. Game 1, and we're going to do this for Dave because Dave is watching in the studio, and we're going to bring up the Cowboys and the Broncos first. The Cowboys are given 10 points in this one. 49.5 is the over-under. Denver, they beat good team. They beat bad teams, and they lose to good teams. 10 points is about what it should be. Dak is supposedly coming back. Scoop, what are your thoughts?
So CeeDee Lamb's going to be out and Cooper, right? I think both of them are questionable. CeeDee Lamb didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday.
I think that they're both going to play.
Okay.
But they are definitely hobbled a little bit. If I could get a thumbs up or thumbs down from Sturge, are they going to play or are they not going to play? Dave, thumbs up. Thumbs up from Dave. They are going to play. I own them both across the board in fantasy football. And they still have their sturdy projections. When I say sturdy, I mean like they haven't been altered if at all. So usually the point spread is still 10.
I think Gallup's coming back too. So that'll
help alleviate if one of these guys is a little bit hobbled. But
I still think Dallas is going to kill him, even with anyone out.
Yeah, like, Dallas is Denver's finding ways. Garbage. They're finding ways to even win games where they shouldn't win. And I say that like the New England game. They were just found themselves late in the game in a situation where it was probably a less than a 1% chance for them to win, and they won. You look at their schedule. I hate to say this, but Denver is one of the harder teams that they're going to play in terms of record right now. They're 4-4, but Denver is just not a good team. They don't have the firepower. As much as firepower as I do think Denver's offense has the ability to display, they don't have the guy to get the ball. Like, Bridgewater's a good little player, but he's not going to throw the ball for 350 yards, which is what you're going to need to do against this Cowboy team. They're a complete team. Micah Parsons is clear cut the rookie of the year on the defensive side this year, and I expect him to do a lot more of what he's been doing, kind of playing all over the field. Trayvon Diggs finally didn't get a pick last week, right? So he'll probably get two today to right the ship. I'm not going to ask for the sauces picks on the NFL games. If he wants to step in and throw one in, he could do so, but I don't know what he's got on the VIP ticket, so I'm not going to do him dirty like that. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys in this one because 10 points, it's the going rate. I think they should get spotted at 10. I don't see Denver being able to do much, especially with no Von Miller.
Yeah.
Scoop, you're in lockstep. I don't have – I do have Dave's picks.
I think Tyron Cowboys Smith is out too.
Also on the Cowboys.
Yeah, so Kyle will let you guys know that he was also in on the Cowboys. Thank you for that. All right, so now we're just going to go right into the next game on the docket, the game that everybody can't wait for. And honestly, I feel like this is one of those games that – there is going to be a lot of eyes on this game for multiple reasons, right? One, because it's the Jordan Love show, right? Aaron Rodgers, we don't have to talk about the whole vaccination status and this, the immunized. And look, Aaron Rodgers is very careful with what he says. He's articulate. Did he mislead the public? If you're one of the public that is easily misled, then I'd say he misled the public. Did he mislead me? No, because you hear what he said and you could kind of get the sense that Aaron Rodgers doesn't really forfeit information. So if he's being coy about something, it's because he chooses to be. That said, it's not my place to sit here, and I didn't judge Kyrie over his vaccination status. I'm not going to judge Aaron Rodgers over it. I'm just going to leave that where it is. That said, there's a football game to be played. Jordan Love, he's a first round pick. It could be a bonus that he was able to get the reps in the offseason that Rodgers wasn't there for. So we're going to really a tailor-made situation up against a guy like Pat Mahomes and the worst defense in the NFL. So there's some potential for Jordan Love to be streamed in fantasy this week, which I'm going to do if Justin Herbert doesn't play, which we'll talk about when we get to that game. But I think that it's a tailor-made situation. The line moved, I think, 8 points right away.
Yeah.
Right, I think Aaron Rodgers is worth 8 points, but I don't think the Chiefs should be giving 8 points to anybody. It was a pick'em, and now it was eight, and now it's down to seven. So I think people are starting to get hip to that fact. But I mean, the Chiefs, I'm trying to figure out, and now maybe one of you guys could help me out. What have the Chiefs done this season outside of like two quarters of football, one against the Browns and one against the Eagles, and maybe even one against the football team where they actually like put up points in bunches and they were able to get a three and out. I think the Chiefs have had like 5 3-and-outs all season on defense, and their offense is now sputtering out. You saw how bad they looked against the Giants. It took them a gift and a prayer to beat the Giants at home on a Monday night game. What about the Chiefs gives you the impression that they should be giving 8 points to anybody at this point, let alone a team that's 7-1?
They're giving points based on talent. Of what they did last year or the year before. They're not.
No, I fell victim to this early and often.
Oh, yeah, me too. I've lost so much money on the Chiefs. And I'm like, oh, this is a turnaround game. And every week they look like garbage on offense. Oh, and defense. They're just not a good team. And
they're not a good team.
I think I'm at the point where they're just not a good team this year.
I think, and they're typically not really a highly penalized team. The last 2 weeks they've been like, so what I'm trying to get at is like, you would expect that their defense to suck and their offense to continue to put up points. But right now what's happening is their offense is pressing a lot. There's a lot of penalties on the offensive side. There's a lot of turnovers. Mahomes is good for 2 a game at this point. Am I wrong about that?
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's not just the interceptions at this point. It's just, he doesn't take care of the football. He's very reckless. He's careless. My father, I'm sitting there watching the game with my father on Monday, and he's like, I get nervous every time Mahomes throws the ball. He's like, I know he's great, but what's with the that, you know, like there's certain times you're going to have to just sit there and play traditional quarterback and stop throwing the sidearm passes, stop flicking the ball around.
Like last week they did the behind the back wildcat tight end play.
This stuff works when you take the league by storm by doing it. But when people are kind of looking for this gimmick shit, I think it eventually runs its course. And
it's a hard game to predict because Jordan,
it's actually
know anything about Jordan Love.
Here's what I know about Jordan Love. Ready? They're going to be stacking the box because I could expect a lot of AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones in this game. Almost the same game plan that we went into last week with no Devontae. We're going to use the same thing and we're going to fucking run the football all day on this team. Take the ball out of the offense's hands. 8 points in a game that I think is going to be largely controlled by running the football by Green Bay. I think if Green Bay does what they're able to do, the defense is good. They're a little banged up, but the defense is playing a lot better than people are giving them credit for. They've kind of fixed the red zone issues that they've had to a degree. I mean, Taylor Heinicke downing the ball on the half foot line helped, if anybody remembers that a couple weeks ago. But I'm going to go with the Packers in this one, getting the 7 points, just a touchdown dog when you're 7-1. I understand the Rodgers situation, but let's see what Jordan Love's got.
Yeah, Packers. The only thing I'll say is this is what happens when you give these star quarterbacks their second contracts, man. This team is just imploding from within because they have no cap space in 2023, 2024 to sign anybody.
And anybody that becomes available midseason, they're really up against it because it's not like they could outbid anybody for anybody's services.
They have no cap space in 2023. So how can they sign maybe like a 1 year contract?
But like a Melvin Ingram type deal, they were able to make the trade for Ingram because he signed at a dirt cheap price with the Steelers, wanted out. So now he's in his walk year anyway. It's barely any of it. It's not a big deal, but they're not able to, let's say like in a guy like a Brandon Cook situation where he's got even a shred of money in the second year, you can't make that deal. No. Right. They're out on anybody like that. And
well, I'm going to go with the consensus here. And Sturge said the same thing. I'm going Packers +7. I think we're all in agreement here. I'm
going to go with the important games first, because we're running short on time, and then the last couple we'll just breeze through them because they're not that great. But this is the Sunday night football game, so we're jumping ahead, and I think this is one of the better games on the slate. I know no King Henry, but Rams at home against the Titans, who are reeling coming off of I wouldn't say they're reeling because they're playing solid football since the Jet loss, but they're reeling because they have the 2022 version or 2021 version of Adrian Peterson and Julio Jones. And this is not 2012. Derrick Henry is obviously potentially out for the season. They're saying he might be able to come back for the playoffs, but I just don't see that being a realistic possibility. Sturch's pick is the Rams at -7.5. Honestly, I'm scared of the half a point in this one. Which means that I'll probably just stay away from this game altogether in terms of reality, but it's a Sunday night game, so we both know that's not true. I'll touch something.
Same game parlay, something there.
But the 7.5 is scary to me. I feel like that game is probably going to end up being 8 by the time it closes. I don't know. Maybe there'll be some public money on the Titans, but I don't anticipate that with no Derrick Henry. Everybody is very, very close-minded when it comes to these injuries, and that's why you see these point spreads shift a certain way. If they're not trying to influence the smart better, they're trying to influence everyone else. So if you're in the public, you know, which I guess I am the public because I'm not the best at betting, but I just had a good week, so now I'm sitting by the sauce, so I feel real important. But I'm gonna pick the Rams because I just need to see what Tannehill is gonna do. I know the defense has been playing a little bit better in Tennessee. Even last week, they gave up 31 points, but a lot of that was turnovers in really, really bad situations early in the game, and they really did well in the second half against the Colts, but it is Carson Wentz and the Colts. So the Rams are a different breed. I'm going to go with the Rams just because they put up a ton of points, and I do feel like there's a sense of embarrassment because of that backdoor cover last week. I would be embarrassed.
Speaking of backdoor covers, that's what the Titans are going to do this week.
You think so?
Yeah.
Right. So
+7.5. They still got AJ Brown. They get signed Peterson and also their backup, McKinney, McDermott,
McNichols,
McMurray,
Jeremy McNichols.
McNichols.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think their line is great. I still think, you know, one of them is going to go over 100 yards rushing. Well, and I think the Rams win, but I think it's going to be a close game.
All right, fair enough. And then
I feel like you have a interesting take on YouTube on this game, so we're going to.
I'm leaning Titans, but I'm doing the Sunday Night Football is usually a big YouTube video.
And I'm putting this one up here because obviously there's implications for the top half of the top seed in the NFC and things like that. But really, this isn't that great of a game to me in terms of like my excitement goes. But the point spread is so fishy to me that I have to put this up here because I can't imagine anyone in the world is going to take the 49ers in this game except for me. Right. So the 49ers are giving a point and a half to the Cardinals. Sauce, you came here and said, when I said, wow, what do you think of this line? It's a strange line. You said that the 49ers were giving more at the outset because I think it's the Kyler Murray situation, but I'm hearing that Kyler Murray is leaning towards playing.
It's up to two now. Jumped up
another half a point. So, wow, that's insane to me. There has to be news on Kyler Murray's injury. There has to be something. There's no other player on, maybe outside of Hopkins, on that team. And I'm pretty sure that he's fairly healthy right now. There's no other player on that team that's going to alter the point spread the way Kyler Murray will. So there has to be a little bit more smoke, whether smoke to fire situation. Like, there has to be something going on with that injury. And don't be surprised. I think I'm going to take the 1.5 now. Because at 1.5, if Kyler Murray decides that he's not going to play, then that's going to jump up.
Then it's the Colt McCoy, so it might be show, baby.
But at the same time, if they announce that he is officially going to play, things could change as well. I think that'll still benefit.
I don't get the line either, to be honest. It has to be. Kyler is not.
Where it's strange.
You can't trust Colt McCoy.
The only reason why I'm going to take the 49ers in this one is because I just don't trust the line, and I feel like everybody else is taking the Cardinals, and I'm gonna ride with Vegas on this one. So that's where I'm headed. Every time I lean forward, I forget that I'm on the mic.
He's blind.
No, bro, you could see these graphics. I can't. All right, this is a decent one. Minnesota at Baltimore. Ravens are giving 6. Over/under is 49.5. The Ravens coming off of a bye week, it's hard for me to not take them in this one.
And coming especially, off an embarrassment.
And, well, yeah, definitely coming off an embarrassment. They're a well-coached team. I would like to see what Harbaugh's record is coming off of a bye. Before I actually make my plays on Sunday, I'll take a look at that. But the Vikings looked really, really bad. They let Cooper Rush march down the field in a really big spot. I can't imagine that they're going to have any success stopping Lamar Jackson in this game. I think Rashad Bateman is now officially full go, and it's coming off of a bye. I think they're going to put him into the – they're going to have some wrinkles in the offense for him. And honestly, I think that he's going to finish this season as their legitimate number one target. I wouldn't say he's going to get the most targets, but he's going to be the guy that demands the most attention from the defense. I think he's their best receiver already. I'm very excited about what Rashad Bateman is going to be able to do in that offense. And – I can't pick the Vikings because every time I root for the Vikings, they burn me, and I'm not going to start doing it again here. I kind of wanted the Vikings, and my heart had me pick the Vikings last week because the Cowboys are now in my division. The Vikings are not. The Packers are going to run away with their division. The Cowboys are going to run away with their division. So the Packers' new division is the Cowboys, the Bucks, the Saints. You get what I'm saying? The top of the NFC, we're going for that one seed we want to buy. I'm no longer going to root for the Vikings ever again, even if I pick them, because they just suck. They suck. Kirk Cousins, you can't get behind Kirk Cousins. He's like Jekyll and Hyde quarterback. He has a good game, bad game, good quarter, bad quarter. I think other than Kirk Cousins, the Vikings are like a really good team. Honestly, I think that their defense is middle of the pack, but the Ravens, they're not going to go 5-3 after going into after this week. Lamar Jackson's too good coming off of a bye. So Ravens all day. Scoop?
Yeah. No, Ravens by 20.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a beatdown as well. Okay. The Atlanta Hawks at New Orleans. The Saints coming off of a really big win against Tampa Bay at home. The Saints are finally getting a second straight home game. The first time they're getting back-to-back. I think it's their third home game of the year because of that whole bullshit that happened early on. But the Saints are giving 6.5 to the Falcons. The over-under is 41.5. This game would be a lot more exciting to me if Calvin Ridley was playing. I think that the Saints, for as much as they're playing well defensively, their secondary, I can't get a pulse on them. They give up a lot of chunk yards to receivers. They're like 26th in the NFL in yardage allowed to receivers, right? But when you look at their defense as a whole, they don't seem that way. You know, like they get after it in their front seven. They're one of these teams. They've been Jekyll and Hyde as well, where like they kind of alternated shitty performance, good performance to start the season. And then they righted the ship and now they're on a roll, right? The Saints find themselves in first place in the NFC South, albeit without their quarterback. Now, Jameis Winston, I think that's a bigger blow than people think. Jameis balls out. And I know that he's got his teammates' confidence. Taysom Hill, while the Saints do have a decent record with Taysom Hill, I think a lot of their offense takes a hit. You see Kamara's numbers very, very, very much down with Taysom Hill as the quarterback. That's typically the case with most running quarterbacks. You're going to see the running backs numbers take a hit. So from a fantasy perspective, I would say you could bump Kamara down a notch and bump guys like Eckler up a notch. I would rather Eckler over Kamara at this point.
Is Taysom Hill definitely starting?
He's not, but I'm saying going forward, this is going to be the Trevor Siemian show, but I mean, going forward, the Saints, you know, like,
yeah,
I'd say this week, it's going to be all Kamara, honestly, because what else are they going to do? Michael Thomas, nobody expected him to play except for the guys that wasted seventh round picks on him in fantasy. AJ, talking to you. but yeah, the Falcons, they just can't get out of their own way. And I don't mean that in the sense of like their football team. That's one part of it. But the Falcons lately have been playing well. You know, like they're 3-1 in their last four games, but they just lost Ridley and they're coming off of a loss. Right? They were 3-3, right? They just lost pretty bad to Carolina. Right. Yep. So the Falcons are pretty much who they are. They're 3-4 football team. The Saints are playing a lot better. I think quarterback situation aside, Trevor Siemian came in last week and he played well against a really good Bucs defense. Now, maybe they're not as good as advertised, but the Bucs are the Bucs. And, you know, a win against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, I don't care if you started, you finished. Either way you look at it, there's some confidence in Trevor Siemian. The Saints are going to win. I'll give him the touchdown. I'll go with the Saints in this one.
I'll go with the Saints too. I think Trevor Siemian's better than people think that he is. I think he's gonna throw for a couple touchdowns, and the Falcons stink. Actually, on a fan today, just throwing it out there, that someone asked if they should start Mike Davis or Giant Dildo. So, you know, it's a good question.
Honestly,
Mike Davis is garbage. Also, start Cordarrelle Patterson.
If that Giant Dildo is named AJ Dillon, then yes, start AJ Dillon over Mike Davis.
Right, start Patterson though. Honestly, he's awesome. He catches like six catches a game. I would start.
All right, so we got the L.A. Chargers. That's funny. AJ calling suck my bud. That's AJ's talking shit because I bashed him for drafting Michael Thomas. All right, so this is another one where I feel like the point spread is a little iffy to me. Maybe just Philly's playing better football and they're starting to recognize it. I don't know if that's the case, but
yeah, they beat the Lions.
The Chargers -1.5 over under is 50. So the Chargers are favored 1.5 points over the Philadelphia Eagles. Hard for me to get a pulse on what's happening with the Chargers. Sometimes they look like they're the best team in football, specifically offensively. They could really put up points in bunches if they get going, but at the end of the day, I'm not sold on their defense. They give up big plays, and they have some shitty losses too. You know, like they lost to the Patriots last week. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Last week. They lost to I actually moneylined that. Very happy about that. That was a nice little hit. But what we're hearing is that there's potential that Justin Herbert might be out in this game.
That's the dark web. Right? Apparently some sharks.
You're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear Adam Schefter tweeting that unless it was like some made up thing that he heard from his cousin's brother that he was banging.
And
or
then
something
he'll
like
ask
that.
Someone if he could post it because he needed someone to edit it for him.
Or no, he's holding the information. He's a reporter and he has the information, but he's holding it to release it at the right time so he can make as much controversy as possible.
Adam Schefter is a cuck.
It's Schefter.
He's a cuck.
Yes, he is a cuck. But
yeah, that's not confirmed. That's from like the dark,
sharp. It's
not
confirmed
web.
That he's a cuck or it's...
No, that's confirmed. Confirmed. That's definitely confirmed.
Good.
And Ian Rappaport is slowly climbing the list of guys that I say are cucks. I used to like him in the offseason pouring cold water on all my stuff, on all the Aaron Rodgers rumors, but now he's pissing me off. But just game picks wise, this is another one where it's fishy. I'll learn to stop picking the Eagles because I've lost on the Eagles several times this year. I actually was like, gave a Facebook post a couple of weeks ago how I thought the Eagles were locks for the 4 o'clock games. I lost all my 1 o'clock bets. And like, I was reading the comments and Kyle was like, definitely the Raiders, bro. And I faded myself and that was like my big win for the day. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles in this one just because the 1.5 is weird.
Yeah. I'm going to actually go the other way. I think I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think Herbert's going to play.
Fading the dark web.
Fading the dark web. Fading the dark web. I think Herbert's going to play. I think they're going to have their defense is really bad.
Hey, Sturge, give me a thumbs up if you're writing down my picks. That's a thumbs down. All right. So I get
to hear it.
We're going to have to rewind. That sucks.
Yeah. I think Eckler's going to have a good game. I think as long as Herbert plays, I think they're going to cover and win by a couple touchdowns.
All right.
Probably over too in that one.
Probably over.
Over. See, I am not writing down my picks, but I am writing down all the little information
if something happens to
the
me.
Dark web.
If something happens to me.
But if the dark web turns out to be right, still the over?
Probably. Yeah. I just think that's probably two of the bottom three or four defenses.
Honestly, and the over under will probably go down significantly.
Yeah,
so wait on that.
It's going to be an 8-7 scoreigami game.
Yeah.
And dark web's going to. Dark web
for the win.
On to the next. This is a game where there's so many things surrounding this game that are just strange and very, very tough situation that's going on out in Vegas. I guess it's a good thing that they get to get on the road when you're dealing with something like this. I always think that it's better for the team to play on the road when you're dealing with a tragic situation, either a coaching. I wouldn't say coaching getting fired midseason is tragic, but something like this where the team gets to galvanize together. They get on a flight. You know, and they're kind of us against the world mentality, almost like, was it Rocky IV?
Yeah.
Right. Where he goes to Russia. Mm-hmm.
Was it? Too bad. Vegas isn't the Hard Knocks midseason.
Oh, team. My goodness. No, they would have to cancel the show. 100%. They couldn't have that going down. That's just too much going on. Could you imagine though?
That'd be great. That's TV, right?
Would have been gold.
Not TV. It's HBO.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It would have also been good to just see the Jaguars situation.
No, because I hate Urban Meyer. I don't even want to watch him.
But honestly, Hard Knocks has gotten so bad that I haven't. I tried to watch. I watched episode one this year, and then once I heard McCarthy talking, I was like, I can't do this for fucking 3 more hours. Not going to happen. But back to the football game. The Raiders have been dealing with things all season, and they still win football games. And their new head coach, 2-0 under him, and now – after just 2 weeks of being a head coach, he's got to deal with probably the worst situation that you're going to see in football, not just this year, just in general. Like, you can't come up with something worse than that. But the Giants suck. So the Giants home team getting points, it's going to be tough for me to lay the 3, but I'm going to, because I'm riding with that emotional, you know, where you're going to have to throw all the handicapping out on this one, kind of like how I did 2 weeks ago when I said the Raiders are going to beat Denver outright and they were getting points. Just something about head coaching. And I think AJ kind of talked shit about the point that I made where coaches coming in off of interim coaches in their first game, or I thought usually the team plays well for them. Apparently that's not the case, but in my experience, the Packers have lost to like interim Lions coaches. They have 3 losses against the Lions in my life, and they're all have been interim coaches. So just my experience. And then this with the Raiders 2 weeks ago, I think that they're going to galvanize. They're going to come together as a team for whatever reason. Derek Carr, I'm a fan now. I don't know. I've been watching him lately, and
it's the eye makeup.
He's always been underrated. I feel like Derek Carr has always been underrated when you look at like his actual numbers. Forget about the rest of it and the win. But Derek Carr, he had really bad injury.
And he's got a cannon.
Derek Carr is accurate. He's got a cannon. He makes good decisions with the football. And I'll tell you what it is, bro. He's like unapologetically like a dorky leader.
Yeah.
Where like he owns it. Like he's like, yeah, I'm a dork. I don't care. I'm confident and I'm a dork. And there's something about that where I think there was a shred of time where the Raiders were looking at him like, yo, this guy ain't the fucking guy. Right. But now when they're like, after a couple years of him just being steadfast in how he's a dork, they're like, no, that's him. Like, but and also he could throw, and now his back isn't injured anymore. And, you know, he kind of knows Gruden's system. And now I think it's a benefit to Derek Carr to get Gruden out because he gets to run the same system without that in his ear.
I think the Sith Lord will pull it out because of the eye makeup. I think pretty much the Giants aren't, they just don't care anymore. They're just, Daniel Jones is not going to be even the quarterback next year. You heard it here. It's not, he's not going to be the quarterback next year.
No, he will be because of contract, but they're not going to,
he's a very average quarterback. I hope Booker has a good game though, because I picked him up. I need to spot start him. So
here's the thing.
As long as Barkley,
here's the thing. The Giants are going to have to do what the Jets did with Daniel Jones that they did with Sam Darnold. They're going to have to get rid of him for very little. I don't know. There has to be a thing in place where are the Giants going to pick? And is there a quarterback like a Zach Wilson that the Giants are going to? No, right? Yeah. There's not going to be a guy in this year's draft. The Giants are probably not going to pick as high with the amount of shitty teams. So there might be a quarterback that they like.
Maybe Gettleman's going to be
I don't think it's going to be a guy that's going to usurp Daniel Jones as a starter because of the fact that he's a first-round pick. They get that fifth year to see what he's about.
If they finish 17 games. Yeah, he's going to be out. Gettleman's out. Joe Judge's out.
I think based on what I've seen out of the Giants, that they're better than one more win. You know, they had the Chiefs on the ropes. Now we know that the Chiefs ain't great, but they almost beat the football team. The Giants, they have some talent. They're just really banged up. But
they got two wins already. I doubt they go the rest of the season without
a rough schedule.
Yeah, they do have a no. They don't. They play in the NFC East, bro. Nobody in the NFC East.
They also play Miami.
They're going to lose.
Washington at home. They play the Eagles again. They play the Eagles twice.
Yeah, they're not going to go. They're not only winning three games. I'm going to take the Raiders.
No, I agree.
Raiders.
Okay. Raiders?
Kyle's sitting this one out. If you want Kyle's picks, either pay him or go on his YouTube.
No, it's just like, sorry. NFL YouTube videos
NFL
are good.
NFL YouTube videos are good. Yeah, so. But also, pay him. You know, it'll be of benefit to you. Trust me.
Leaning Giants.
Pay the man.
So wait, I'm going to switch my pick. I'm also now leaning Giants now. All right. So this is a game that we're going to breeze through the last 1, 2, 4 games here real quick. No side talk. We're already over the threshold. Not that there is a threshold on a Friday.
Bengals.
All right. Browns at Bengals. Bengals are giving 3 points at home. 46.5 is the over under. This is another one where, look, the Bengals, I think they're overrated a little bit, right? Joe Burrow is a good player. I think defensively, they were a benefit of playing some shitty teams early in the season, and they were able to really show that they were able to stop the run against some shitty teams. But look, Michael Carter ran roughshod over them. I don't even know if that's how you say that word, but he ran all over them yesterday or last week. Mike White made a name for himself on that secondary. I just think that the Bengals are still the Bengals and the Browns are still the Browns, right? So this is like the team's evenly matched game. Everybody's got, I think the benefit here is that the Browns are now without Odell Beckham, and that's actually going to help them. So you look into this situation, you're like, oh, the Browns are losing Odell. It's like, no, that team is going to play better now because they don't have to worry about that guy.
He's better without, you know, without Odell.
And I just don't, I'm not a firm believer. I lost money with the Bengals last week, and I know they really shouldn't take that into this week, but just judging by the way they played, and I think maybe there's a shred of that they were riding high coming off the Baltimore win, looking ahead a little bit, but that's not what good teams are supposed to do. The Bengals have some learning to do. I think that this could be one of those situations where you see Myles Garrett just completely take over a game. I don't know that they're going to have an answer for him. So Joe Burrow, get on your fucking horse, bro.
I think it's
going to come through in this one.
I think it's a bounce back game for the Bengals. I don't think they're going to lay an egg like they did against the Jets. I think the Browns are kind of a mess right now. I think Mixon has a touchdown, and I think it's going to be a low scoring game.
I think the Browns were a mess, and now they got rid of Odell Beckham, and now they're fine. So we're going to go with the Browns defense for the Gooch.
Number one.
Scoop is taking the Bengals, even though we're not tracking his picks. And I feel like Kyle, as he reclines back in his chair, that he wants to sit this one out. I get a good read of the room. So Bills at Jaguars. Taking the Bills, I'm going to bet them because I bet the Bills every week. And they've been.
Yeah, James Robinson's out. Just take the Bills.
I don't necessarily bet the Bills every week, but I'm betting them the last couple of weeks.
Bills are always winning by double digits right now.
Look, I haven't seen the Bills look as bad as they looked in the last 3 years. Last week in the first half, that was the worst I've seen the Bills look, and they still managed to cover against a shitty Dolphins team. But they didn't cover that first half bet, so I was all over the Bills last week. I think everybody was all over the Bills last week. And coming off of a bye, but I look for the Bills to do what they were supposed to do last week, this week, because they kind of showed that they didn't show out like they should have coming off of a bye. I feel like there's still a sense of embarrassment out of Buffalo. I'm looking for Emmanuel Sanders to pop two touchdowns.
I'm looking for Emmanuel's because he had a big zero for me last week when I spot started him. So that's nice. But Sturch also picked the Bills. Also, survivor pick for whoever hasn't picked the Bills.
I'm pretty sure almost everybody in the nine has picked the Bills. So I've done extensive research. I'm in the really good spot in that survivor pool. I'm also taking the Cowboys this week.
It's solid.
Moving on. Patriots at Panthers. Actually a little more excited about this game than most people would think. For some reason, I have this like fascination with this Patriot team.
Same.
I don't know what it is. I think I'm so anti-Brady that I'm rooting so hard for Belichick. And it's gotten me to the point where, like, I root for a Boston-based team for the first time in my life.
I can't do it.
Now, I'm not rooting for them to win the Super Bowl, but I've rooted for the – I just want to see – Belichick have a good showing so I could always say, like, could you imagine if Rodgers had Belichick all those years? And that's, like, one of the arguments that I made. But if Brady just goes and dominates and Belichick goes and does shitty, then that – I lose a little
– it looks bad.
Yeah, it looks worse for my argument. But
I think this line's too low. I think the Patriots are going to win by like 10 or 11.
I think the line is what it should be because the Patriots, while have been playing better, they're still just a 4-4 team going on the road playing another 4-4 team. Right,
McCaffrey's back
for now. Right. I mean, so first McCaffrey's quarter. Back, guys. If anybody dropped Chuba Hubbard, go add him in your fantasy league because McCaffrey won't be back for long as far as I'm concerned. But hopefully for everybody's sake. And you know what else is an interesting wrinkle in this game? Gilmore is getting to play his former team. So Stephon Gilmore will be lining up against whoever the Patriots decide to put at their number one receiver spot because I feel like they change that every week. But I just like Mac Jones, man. I think Mac Jones is the real deal. I think that you're starting to see Mac Jones, the passer, come into his own a little bit over the past couple weeks. Bro, you take away that, like, even the Dallas game, like, Mac Jones balled out in that game. He had a couple hiccups late, but he's a rookie. And, you know, outside of that one pick six, like, he balled out. He had them in a position to win that game. And even the pick six kind of wasn't really his fault. It was not the best throw, but it should have been caught nonetheless, I thought.
How sad do you think Jets fans are that Patriots get another rookie quarterback and he just looks so much better?
Well, I think that I don't know that Mac Jones is necessarily going to be the better player. I think he's going to be.
I do.
Me
too.
Personally, but I don't know that it's because better he's a more talented also. Guy. I think he's just going into a situation where, you know, there's a real system in place with confidence in the culture in New England and the expectations. And yeah, Bill Belichick, Robert Saleh. Saleh could be the best guy in the world. He's not a great head coach,
right,
as far as I'm concerned, yet. Got a lot more to prove. Great defensive coordinator, probably, but as far as the points go in this one, I'm going to take the Patriots because I just think that they have the momentum. Carolina, it took a really hobbled, almost depressing Atlanta Falcons team. Like, it's depressing watching the Falcons play right now. And then as you're watching the game, like, you're seeing news that, like, they're dealing with Calvin Ridley. And I'm not making light of this mental health issue, but it's just something about the Falcons this year is just not right. And the Patriots, like I said, I think they're gaining momentum. I think that they're looking to fight for that one of these playoff spots that's up for grabs, completely up for grabs out in the AFC right now. I look for the Patriots to make a real push, and it starts here. I would say they're going to beat them up too, but definitely going to lay the 3.5.
Mac Jones looks so good against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Impressive.
All right. Save the worst for last. Jesus Christ.
What a game.
Honestly.
Tyrod's back.
Honestly.
It's going to change everything.
Honestly, I'm taking
T-Mobile?
I'm taking the Titan. I'm taking the Texans because this is the one week. I think this is the first week of the year outside of week one where I didn't fade the Texans in the survivor pool. Like, I've picked against the Texans every single week, except for one. I picked the Bengals over the Jags, but yeah, I'm gonna go with the Texans in this one because the Dolphins haven't shown me anything. Even when they have a Bills team that's stumbling over their own feet, they still couldn't manage to do anything. The Dolphins 1-7 are really bad. I think that the Texans are 1-6 now. I didn't update that graphic.
I think the Texans win straight up.
They're 1-7 also.
Money line.
Yeah. So the
Tyrod's back. Tyrod isn't a bad quarterback at all. He's definitely.
I'm gonna go with the Texans due to the fact that Tyrod Taylor is coming back, and I don't think Tyrod
Taylor until Tyrod Taylor gets sniped from the rafters and he's hurt another.
Something's
4 weeks.
Gonna happen where he T-Mobile gets
sucks, man.
Punctured. I agree. He's not Ty God Taylor. That's AJ. Do you remember that?
That was AJ.
Bro, that was from when we had our week one debacle. Yeah. It was fun, but it was stressful.
I wish there was an easier, simpler way to do that.
We will have to revisit that in the coming months, but it might even be as simple as this. Not even being here. Yeah. Like, everybody just going live. Like, we don't have to have...
I was thinking about that.
But we'll talk about that off air. Guys, thank you for all tuning in. This was a great show. I had fun today. A little bit of apprehension going in because of the graphics and the ability to get Kyle's camera set up, but we did it nonetheless. And thank you for all tuning in. We had a decent viewership total today.
Big Knicks game tonight.
Big UFC this weekend. Canelo fight. Guys, a lot of fucking sports this weekend.
Brace yourself.
Any fantasy advice? I didn't give the picks this week because I wasn't here yesterday, and I didn't give like a stardom sit-em. So if anybody has any need for his fantasy advice, even though I'm doing bad in fantasy this year, you could reach out to your boy, hit me up on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, and we'll do all that. Follow Kyle on Instagram at Kyle Kerms, right? Go to the Sauce Network at kylekerms.com, Sauce Network on YouTube at Kyle Kerms. So go search all those out. Give my boy a follow. Go listen to all the podcasts. We got All About the Star. The Cowboys are doing well, so get on board with that. Dave's in a really good place right now with the Cowboys. He got the birth of his son, so I'm sure that the
Miles
excitement
Austin will, Sturcio.
I'm sure the excitement will pour through the airwaves. So give that Dave a shout, give him a listen, and
look,
Dave
showing you look,
one
Dave,
thing
look
that
at
I'll
Dave
say.
Right now. Look at that.
The one thing that I'll say. Oh, look, we got the baby live on screen. That's amazing. This is the exclusive. I was going to say something about Dave and give him a compliment, and I forgot, so he fucking ruined it.
You can't put him down now after showing the baby.
I wasn't going to put him down. I was going to say something good about it, but I was going to talk about Dave's Twitter, his Cowboys Twitter, right? If there's one thing that I could learn from Sturch, and there's more things I could learn, but he managed to build a nice following on Cowboys Twitter. So if you're a Cowboys fan or if you're a Cowboys hater, go on Dave's go on Twitter, search out Dave Sturcio, because he is an annoying ass Cowboys fan, but he does get involved. He does get involved, and he's tweeting. So you could either talk shit or you could laugh and join the ride with him. But go follow my boy Dave. Follow me. I'm trying to build my shit too. Just Chris Gucci. Follow all the podcasts. Subscribe. You know
next,
the drill,
next
guys.
Week I'll have my podcast.
Scoop. The Cross Court Podcast. I had a personal issue yesterday, so I couldn't record with Scoop. He does have keys to the studio. Not yet, but he will going forward, so he won't need me.
Hookie, set it on fire.
I appreciate everybody. Thank you very much. Another episode of Chop Sports Daily. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back on Monday with the breakdowns.